Welcome to SwampSwami.com, sports commentary and more. Today, it's March Madness. Why Stephen F. Austin still has to win the Southland Conference Tournament. It's almost here. The annual race to the finish line in men's college basketball is soon coming as the NCAA's March Madness basketball tournament will select the field in the coming weeks. Prior to the field being set, college basketball's landscape of conferences will all enter into their annual tournaments too. For a large conference like the Atlantic Coast Conference, ACC, the Southeastern Conference, SEC, or the Big 12, there's no doubt that some college basketball teams will improve their likelihood of getting into the big dance by a late winning streak. These are the so-called bubble teams. At this time, they currently include a faltering LSU Tiger team at 18-8, Oklahoma at 16-10, and Texas Tech at 16-9, among others. A small committee of basketball gurus, coaches, and administrators will convene over the final weekend of conference tournaments to determine which teams will be assigned the at-large bids to play in the basketball tournament. All 32 conference champions, even the smallest schools like the ones from the Summit League or Horizon Conference, are awarded at least one spot in the March Madness basketball field. Since college basketball began in November of last year, all college basketball teams have competed playing non-conference games and will soon conclude their conference schedules. With half of the field of 64 teams, okay, actually it's 68 including these four play-in games, coming from these conference basketball championships, it's very important for the smallest conferences to send their very best team into the NCAA tournament in order to have a decent chance to win on the biggest stage. The regular season conference champion may, perhaps, receive a first-round bye in their season-ending basketball tournament, but they'll still need to dispatch at least two of their conference foes one more time in order to gain an automatic bid into the NCAA March Madness field. Unfortunately, the regular season conference champion doesn't always win in this season-ending basketball tournament. And when that happens, the regular season champion is often left out of the NCAA's field of teams. The regular season's champion, so-called strength of schedule, will be used in part by the NCAA's committee to determine whether the regular season champs who had just lost in the conference tournament might have a chance to make the field. The truth is that most of these smaller basketball conferences will get one and only one bid to the big dance. So why do these smaller conferences even waste 4 months of basketball to send the team which gets hot in their season-long basketball tournament into the NCAA's field of 64? Money, of course! Just like the incredible number of relatively meaningless college football bowl games, these conference basketball tournaments are shown on television. In all cases, ESPN will televise the conference championship game to the nation. These small conferences reap a shining moment of exposure on television with their single televised game at the end of February or early March in their tournament. It certainly makes for better theatrics and television ratings to show a competitive conference championship game with excited fans in the stands pulling for one of these two teams as they slug it out for a chance to move into the NCAA's March Madness field. But when the number one seed in a conference tournament loses to, let's say, the number four seeded team in the finale, it also means that the league's best team in the regular season probably won't be invited to the NCAA tournament as that number four team in the conference, by virtue of that one win in the conference tournament finals, moves to play in the big dance instead. That team is nearly always guaranteed to have a first round exit, too. Now, I'm not suggesting that the regular season conference winner is always having a better chance to win a first-round game in the NCAA tournament than another team which happens to win the conference tournament. For small conferences, though, a first-round victory in the NCAA tournament can mean a whole lot more money for the conference over time. According to a recent study, each school selected for the NCAA men's tournament earns its conference a projected $1.6 million to be paid over the next 6 years. Now that starts out with about $261,000 every year. Excellent. A team which keeps winning in the NCAA's tournament earns up to 5 units if they make it all the way to the Final Four, and that's $8.3 million for that one conference. The NCAA stops awarding units after the national semifinals are announced. So let's talk a moment about the Southland Conference. The current men's leader in the Southland is Stephen F. Austin, which has a stellar 22-3 overall record and is 13-1 in conference play. The team currently has a 3-game advantage over second place Nichols State, who's 17-9 overall and 11-4 in conference games, with just 5 regular season games to go. SFA has the biggest non-conference win in college basketball this year, as the Lumberjacks defeated the Duke Blue Devils, who are 22-3 right now, 85-83 earlier this basketball season. Now, that upset win snapped a 150-game or 20-year non-conference winning streak which the Blue Devils had owned at their famed Cameron Indoor Center court since February of 2000. So you'd like to think that no matter what happens in the upcoming Southland Conference basketball tournament, that the Lumberjacks are a cinch to make it into the NCAA field on the basis of their strong record and win at Duke. Wrong. The NCAA's own website this week showed Stephen F. Austin ranked as the 87th best team in the country. How is that even possible when they beat a top 5 Duke team on its home court earlier this year? What it means is it's entirely possible for the best team in the Southland Conference to be left out of the NCAA field completely unless it wins 2 more games during the conference basketball tournament in Katy, Texas coming up in early March. So let's say, just for fun of it, that Southland Conference's second place team, Nichols State Colonels, win the basketball tournament in March instead of SFA. Nichols State's fans will be pumped for going to the NCAA tournament for the first time in school history, but the odds are that they'll likely also be one and done as a 15th or 16th seed against an overwhelming favorite, let's say like Kansas, for example. Regardless, the Southland Conference will still earn their one share from the NCAA's huge basketball fund and pocket their $1.7 million paid incrementally over the next 6 years. But what if Stephen F. Austin had been awarded an automatic bid as the regular season champs of the league? The team would have likely earned a higher placement seeding in the NCAA tournament based on its outstanding regular season record, perhaps as high as an 11 or 12 seed. And with the higher seed, the Lumberjacks would theoretically have a better chance to win a first-round game as they did back in 2016. And a first-round win by Stephen F. Austin, the Southland Conference would also double its own payday too. Another $1.7 million to the league isn't chump change for a small conference. Again, this is not to disparage the chances of another Southland Conference team not named SFA, but we're talking significant money for this regional conference. Perhaps the Southland Conference and other smaller conferences competing for their one shining moment is going to bank a lot of money on their end-of-season tournaments. Maybe that's the reason they do this. How much money will the basketball tournament for a small conference bring in? Let's go to the Southland and think about it. If you filled every single seat in the Katy, Texas basketball arena, about 5,000, for 4 nights at an average ticket price of about $20 a person, it would generate $400,000 in ticket sales for the Southland Conference. And there's also revenue from concessions and programs and other trinkets sold, but there are also arena expenses, referees to pay, and other things too. Does the Southland Conference tournament earn enough money to risk sending a team which isn't the regular season champion to the NCAA March Madness tournament? Did I hear you say television money? Isn't it always the reason these days? Yes, ESPN holds the television rights to the Southland Conference basketball tournament. I doubt that ESPN would be very happy to learn that the conference number one seed, SFA, was being crowned as the league champions based on their successful regular season performance before the conference tournament even began. Besides, how many basketball fans would then drive and show up in Katy, Texas to watch the other Southland Conference teams playing for second place and maybe a chance to play in the National Invitation Tournament, the NIT, instead of going to the NCAA March Madness event? Not very many. And of course, ESPN wouldn't like that very much either, as they own the television rights to the entire conference basketball tournament shebang. Just like the college football bowl season, there aren't too many live sporting events on television during late February and early March. ESPN's Championship Week, which is, ironically, closer to 2 weeks in duration, but who's counting, is filled with basketball games from the big and small conferences all around the country to see which teams can punch their ticket to the men's basketball big dance. That also means hours and hours of opportunities for ESPN's advertisers to pitch their products to the nation while the last chilly temperatures of winter keep much of America inside watching television. The tentacles of television money will keep a stranglehold on the Southland Conference basketball tournament and force the league's best team in 2020, Stephen F. Austin, to win another two games during early March in order to earn their chance to play in the NCAA March Madness tournament. If Stephen F. Austin should happen to lose at the Southland tournament coming up, it's likely that the Lumberjacks will be sent to play on the road in the NIT tournament as their consolation prize. Personally, I'd prefer to see SFA playing against a big conference school, such as LSU or Oklahoma, in an early round game of the NCAA March Madness instead. It might still happen, but SFA might have to win up to 30 regular season and conference basketball games just to earn the chance to beat another team like Duke again in the NCAA men's basketball tournament. If SFA is left out of the NCAA's field of 64/68 teams, remember just how much money will go to one of those big-name conferences when one of their mediocre teams with, let's say, 12 to 15 losses is awarded one of the final spots in the tournament field. Yeah, $1.7 million. The NCAA Basketball Tournament Committee is not only doling out spots into their wildly popular annual basketball tournament field, they'll wink and nod at each other as they say that SFA's regular season schedule, well, it's just not as tough as some of those 14-game losers from the Big Ten, for example. If you go to my website at swampswami.com, I have a link to describe the really tedious process which the NCAA uses to show how their decisions are made for Selection Sunday. Just keep in mind that these NCAA kingmakers are also doling out nearly $2 million in guaranteed money to those at-large conference teams, too. As for me, go Lumberjacks! I'm Swamp Swami. See you soon.